from NPR and the Futuro Media Group, it's Latino USA. I'm Maria Hinojosa. And today, a portrait of Luis Fonsi. Last month, Latino USA dedicated a podcast special to the creation and impact of the song Despacito.
Fonsi tells me, you know what? I had this idea since this morning. Tell me what you think about this. And he sings to me the first line of Despacito. He goes, Despacito. And he tells me, vamos a hacerlo en una playa en Puerto Rico.
For that interview, we spoke with one side of the collaboration behind Despacito. Today, the other side, we speak with Luis Fonsi himself. For 20 years, Luis Fonsi has been an integral part of the Latin music scene, and so he's no stranger to the limelight. But with Despacito, he was able to reach new audiences, an English-speaking audience that is now starting to get to know the Puerto Rican singer, and a younger bilingual audience who now have Fonsi on their radar. As for me, I was curious to know how life has been for Luis Fonsi a year after the global phenomenon that is Despacito, and the fact that he's been able to reinvent himself throughout his career. I had the chance to catch up with Luis Fonsi at a hotel lobby in New York City to talk about that and a whole bunch of other things. So if you were talking to people who only know you as Despacito, what are you saying to them, like, look, if you really want to know who I am, this is what you need to know? What would you say?
Yeah, well, I mean, first of all, I would say, nice to meet you guys. Thank you for liking Despacito. I don't mind being a new artist to you. You know, at 20 years in, I'm sort of going back to day one. But it's exciting. It's very exciting. It's not frustrating at all. It's kind of like, I always just kind of use a parallel, like, imagine if you went through school and you graduated and you're forced to kind of go back to school again, but you've already learned so much that you can kind of go in there so prepared. That's how I see it. You know, when I'm doing promo now, when I'm getting to perform in new markets and new countries, you know, it's like I've been through the ups and downs and I feel very comfortable on stage. And I have all these other songs that I want people to get to know. So it's cool. It's very exciting.
I was looking back at Comenzare,
yes,
which is 20 years old. And part of what you've had to do is constantly kind of remake yourself.
Yes.
I'm thinking actually when you leave Puerto Rico and you get to Florida.
Right. That was a huge change. I think that would definitely be my first big shock moment where I was forced to grow up. You know, when you're 11, it's not like, you know, you know it all. Although at that age, you think you know it all. you know, but I remember that it was a very tough time to leave Puerto Rico behind, to move to Orlando, to kind of have to learn a new language, to, you know, sort of leave everything that I loved, that I had, my chorus classes, my best friends, my cousins, my, you know, my school, blah, blah, blah. But the thing about being young and sort of having this change come at a young age is that you adapt so quickly. And before I knew it, I was speaking English fluently and I got used to the new school system and, you know, had my friends. I sort of had my rhythm back. But it made me grow up and I think it influenced a lot in, you know, in my music because I sort of have the best of both worlds. I grew up listening to the amazing Latin artist like Jose Jose.
Espera un poco, un poquito más.
El Gran Combo. All these amazing artists. And I also listened to Brian McKnight and Stevie Wonder and Boyz II Men. Mix all of this stuff together and kind of you get me. That's where my music influence comes from.
Which has pretty much always been bilingual.
Yeah, obviously my heart, my soul, you know, I am 100% Boricua and no one will ever take that from me. It has nothing to do with where I'm from. It just, when I grew up, you know, I was forced to learn a new language and now your brain just kind of speaks them both. I remember I went to college at Florida State, I got a music degree, and my junior year, I started to get a little antsy You know, I was like, I was studying classical music, and I love classical music. I respect it, but I don't feel like I'm a classical singer. You know, I'm too informal. I'm too rock and roll. I'm too R&B to be a classical singer. So it came to a point I was like, okay, I want to record my own album. I want to start recording my demos. And then I was like, okay, so what language am I going to record in? You know, and I was like, So I did them both. I did an English song and a Spanish song. I didn't know which door was going to open first. I didn't know how I was going to pursue or how I was going to start my recording career. I just knew I wanted to sing, you know? I didn't really, the language thing was not my priority. The singing thing was. So that's how it all started.
Your transition from a ballad like No Me Doy Por Vencido, to kind of this reggaeton-ish, yeah, pop-ish kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. So I'm wondering about that remaking.
And that's a great question. I've never felt like a balladeer. You know what I mean? I was never really the traditional balladeer. I was never the guy, and there's nothing wrong with that, because one of my all-time favorite singers is Luis Miguel, who is like the guy who stands up with his tux on and blows you away with the most amazing voice in the world. So I never saw myself as that sort of serious, romantic, you know, well-dressed balladeer. I would sing these beautiful love ballads, which I will never stop singing. And then again, I would do sort of an up-tempo and wear some tennis shoes and put a headset on and start dancing. So I always loved sort of mixing it up, pop, ballad, a little bit of rock. Every album was different. I started getting away from the traditional kind of lots of strings and nylon guitars, and I went into more of like a live band sound. It was always about evolution. Like every album I went in there, I was like, what do I want? Like, where do I feel pop is now? What do I want to sound like now? My previous album before Despacito was completely opposite. It was actually very organic. It had a lot of this sort of British pop rock sound. Corazón en la Maleta, which was kind of a very acoustic vibe. And when I did Despacito, it was a big risk. Despacito. Sexy video dancing with a dembow underneath it, with a featuring from probably the biggest reggaeton star in Daddy Yankee. Just kind of a different vibe in general. And I said, maybe people are going to be like, no, I like Fonsi the romantic guy. I don't like Fonsi singing these dance songs now. But I said, but that's who I am. You know what I'm saying? Like, if people who know me know that I love to dance and that I have salsa running through my veins because that's what I grew up listening to. I'm here kind of explaining myself. It's like, Fonsi, that's who you are. Why are you going to shy away from that? Don't be afraid. Let's go for it. And I went for it, and thank God it paid off.
For people who don't know, you threw out dembow.
Yeah, it's that rhythmic part in a traditional reggaeton song.
Can you clap it out for us? Or
you know, that's a dembow. You can switch it up a little bit, but at the end of the day, it all comes from Afro, Latin, reggae. You know, you mix all of these beautiful cultures together, and that's who we are. That's what we're made of. That's our DNA.
Coming up on Latino USA, my conversation with Luis Fonsi continues. And yes, we talk Despacito.
It would have been beautiful for Despacito to win. More than anything, for me to be able to hold that award and say thank you to the Latin community.
Stay with us. No te vayas.
Hi, I'm Guy Raz.
And I'm Mindy Thomas.
And together, we bring you Wow in the World,
NPR's podcast for families.
Every week, we explore wild and new scientific discoveries.
We also ride a bird. Find Wow in the World on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, we're back. And when we left off, Luis Fonsi was sharing a bit of his musical trajectory to get us to where he is today. And of course, it's hard not to mention Despacito in all of that context. But here's what I really wanted to know. After Despacito lost in the Grammys in February, how was he dealing with that? We love Despacito. It was
Thank you for that.
The biggest song of the friggin' planet. How do you remake yourself after something like that? I think a lot of people are wondering.
You know, I've done a lot of sort of thinking after the award, and I went in there sort of knowing that it was going to be very hard. I think, you know, a lot of people around me were, oh, that you got that in the bag. I said, guys, relax. This has nothing to do with sales, with number ones, with records. This is the Academy, you know, voting for music. And, you know, there's going to be a lot of people out there that are going to think this is a Spanish song. You know, Spanish songs, you have your own Latin Grammys. Unfortunately, there'll be a lot of people who think that way. It would have been beautiful for Despacito to win. More than anything, for me to be able to hold that award and say thank you to the Latin community and to be able to dedicate it to Puerto Rico, to be able to dedicate it to the dreamers, to be able to dedicate it to those people who are going through some tough times. That's the one thing that I wish I would have had a chance to do. Just to be nominated, to be able to perform a song in Spanish in the big show. I did get 4 Latin Grammys a few months back. So I'm very grateful. You know, I can't sit here and say, you know, that I'm mad. I am not. I'm actually over the moon with the reaction of people, of the media, who are hurt, who are mad, and who are sharing their voice and their thoughts. And that, to me, means the world.
You brought up dreamers.
Mm-hmm.
Why is it important for you to be talking about this right now?
I mean, because I feel as though I'm the voice of those dreamers. Although, as you say, I'm from Puerto Rico. I'm a U.S. citizen. And I have all the rights. I'm protected by this amazing U.S. shield. But I am Latino. And I feel very close to my Latino brothers and sisters. And, you know, there's a little bit part of me that's Mexicano. There's a little bit part of me that's Hondureño, Guatemalteco, Venezolano, Colombiano, Argentino, Chileno. Those are the people who I sing for. Those are the people that have made me who I am today. And I feel as though I have to use the one tool that I use every day to make a living, which is my voice, to be their voice and spread hope and spread love, because that's what we're here to do.
So in the cab in Chicago yesterday, a Latino cab driver named Miguel on the radio, Leonard Skinner, Rolling Stones,
nice.
Led Zeppelin.
Okay.
But then I said, dude, I'm interviewing Luis Fonsi tomorrow. And he was like, who? And I said, Luis Fonsi of Despacito. And he was like, ah. Oh.
Damn song.
He was like, oh my God, that damn song. He said, that damn song. I can't stand it. I was like, no, espérate un segundo. I was like, dude, no, come on. He was like, it's everywhere.
Yeah.
And I felt
it's like a virus.
I was like upset. I was like, what? And yet you're laughing about it. You're
I
like,
love it. I mean, look, the song got massive airplay. You know what I mean? Like, look, for an artist, that's a dream. Of course, when something gets played a lot, you know, people tend to get a little bit sick of it. And I respect that. You know what I mean? I think when people go, I don't think they do it because they hate the song. I just think they do it because they've heard it like 1 too many times or 100 too many times. But I'm okay with that. Like, I have a good sense of humor.
So there are a lot of bad things about getting older, but there are some good things, right? The little bit of like smarts that comes with getting older and more mature.
Experience.
I'm wondering, what would you tell your pre-Despacito self of 20 years ago?
Mm-hmm.
What would you say to that young man who was just starting out 20 years ago?
Slow down and enjoy it. Just slow it down, you know? Which is ironic, no? Despacito. it's the irony behind it is incredible. But, you know, just enjoy it. Because I remember the first 5-7 years of my career was all about what now? What next? What do I gotta do? Where do I have to be?
You mean like kind of stressed?
Yeah, you know, I'm
a little anxious.
I'm not gonna lie. I'm a little bit intense, and still to this day, I'm intense when it comes to work because I want to make sure that I do it all and that I'm always there and that I'm early and that I don't disappoint anybody. And it's just, and I bring it onto myself, not to others. It's kind of like my inner fight. And I have to fight with myself and say, Fonsi, slow, relax. You know, you can't do, you know, 8 concerts a week. You know, just sometimes you're going to have to say no, but you're going to have to take some days off and just enjoy what's going on. You know, say to my, this happens every day. Now that I have a family, now that I have 2 babies, it has helped me because now they are my priority over anything. So that has been the best medicine for me to sort of say chill. But going back to your initial question, back then it was just like, I just wanted to just conquer the world in one night, and you can't. You have to just wait for things to be, and sometimes you're gonna fail and you're gonna make mistakes and you're gonna be misunderstood. And the ups and the downs, that's what makes you who you are.
Luis Fonsi, thank you so much for joining us on Latino USA.
Thank you. It's such a pleasure and such an honor.
Luis Fonsi is a Latin Grammy award-winning artist and is currently on a world tour. And for all of his fans, Fonsi is working on his next studio album, which will be out later this year. Portrait of Luis Fonsi was produced by Janice Yamoka. The Latino USA team includes Fernanda Chavarri, Andres Caballero, Antonia Cerejido, Ginny Montalvo, Sayer Quevedo, and Maggie Freeling. Our senior editor is Marlon Bishop. Our engineer and music editor is Cornelius McMoyler. Additional engineering help this week from Stephanie LeBeau. Our Latino USA fellows are Maya Cueva and Jesse Alejandro Cottrell. Our intern is Reese Williams. Our production manager is Natalia Fidelholz. And if you like the music you heard on this episode, stop by latinousa.org and check out our weekly Spotify playlist. Our theme music was composed by Zenia Rubinos. I'm your host and executive producer, Maria Hinojosa. Join us again next time, and in the meantime, look for us on all of your social media. Hasta la próxima. Ciao.
Latino USA is made possible in part by funds granted from the Charles H. Revson Foundation. The statements made and views expressed, however, are solely the responsibility of the author. The Ford Foundation, dedicated to working with visionaries on the front lines of social change worldwide. And the John D. and Catherine T. MacArthur Foundation.
Despacito.
Eso!
I'm Maria Hinojosa. Next time on Latino USA, what happens when a country takes away birthright citizenship?
And when I get my passport, that, wow, I got some document that allow me to be normal.
We go to the Dominican Republic to find out. That's next time on Latino USA.
When Cece first met his mom's new tenant, he never suspected he'd end up getting replaced as a son, or that his replacement might have sinister motives. This week, Invisibilia looks at the things we don't say to our loved ones and the misunderstandings it can lead to.